Well, hello and welcome. It is August the 10th. It is the first reactionary Premier League podcast of the new season. It is the Soccer Central podcast. I am James Sharman, joined as usual on Mondays going forward by Brendan Dunlop. Hello, B.
How you doing? You say as usual, but let's be honest. Eventually, I'm just not going to wake up.
There's no chance.
It's like 6 a.m. for me right
our
now.
Our time. Yeah. What is it, your time?
Equivalent to 6, maybe, six. And that might be generous. Yeah. Probably about 5:30.
About 5:30. You look awful, by the way.
Well, you know, that's not the first time you said that to me, and I've learned to live with that.
Yes.
9 years, and we still work in the same quarters and are amongst each other.
The scars aren't healing. There's more of them, that's all, right?
Seems to be
scars
it.
Upon scars upon scars.
Seems to be it.
It's just the two of us today because Dobby has the week off.
Oh.
You know, first week for crying out loud, and he takes a week off.
What a jerk.
Timmins set off a week two, right? Because it's
Rogers
Cup tennis. So
we've only been on the air for three
seriously,
days?
Seriously, such freaking slackers, wow. Those guys. The whole crew, the whole team.
Jays may never win again, and they can just take days off?
That's what it is, right?
Bunch of lazy
dudes. That's what it is. It's not because of Rogers Cup. It's because of, well, Jays are in a roll, and they're back home this week.
Yeah. Can't handle with all that mess.
Anyway, going forward, we'll have Dobby here as well. And, of course, on Thursday's podcast will be myself and John Molinaro and a slew of guests. Anyway, listen, it's week one done. Week one finished. Week one in the bags.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it, obviously. But it's funny, I'm reading Twitter throughout this weekend, and I'm just like rolling my eyes. The over-analysis. Week one, you know, a halftime of the games, people are like, tearing into teams and saying, oh, they should fire this guy and fire that guy, and this guy's not going to cut it at this level. Shut up. I think Richard Whittle, our boy Richard Whittle, tweeted out on Sunday night, week one in the bag, something like the most overanalyzed yet least important games of the season.
I like the way you've prefaced this. It's almost as if you don't want me to attack you for thinking that Peter Cech is the piece that put Arsenal over the top. Like you
exactly.
Thought about this coming in.
And that was, I think, the result of the weekend, wasn't it? Yeah. West Ham beating Arsenal 2-0. Peter Cech, hardly a legendary performance. Looks a bit post-skull fracture, Peter Cech, to me. You know what I mean?
I think he's looked like that permanently post-skull
really?
Fracture.
Really? No.
Yeah, I think he is on a player on the decline. I think that's obviously why Jose was happy to see him go and understanding that he wasn't going to sit there and be a number two. He only had six Premier League appearances last year, but I think that he's clearly been on the decline, and that's why I questioned everyone's confidence in him. He's got to build new relationships with the guys in front of him. He's, I don't think, as sharp as he once was. I do think that there's some excuse to be given for his first match with a new back line, and that they're getting used to each other. Wenger said it too on that the first goal. You know, they seem to be playing quite high, but at some point, you know, you'd expect a class defender, a goalkeeper, at least on the second goal to get that, and he didn't.
See, that skull fracture happened many years ago now, right? Yeah. And he's had many great years since then. Now, there was a time where I thought you were right. I thought, yeah, he was declining. That was probably about 3 or 4 years ago now. But, okay, last year was what it was. Courtois comes in. You can't turn down the kid who's arguably the best keeper in world football. You had to bring him in now rather
sure.
than losing to Atletico Madrid or wherever it was he would have gone. I think prior to last season, though, Cech had a great campaign. He was arguably Chelsea's best player, I thought. He's 32, 33 around
33,
there.
Yeah.
That's for a goalkeeper. He's got another 7-8 years left.
Sure. Could, maybe not.
And listen, by the evidence of the weekend, okay, there's issues there. But listen, it's a game one. And like you said, you're not familiar with your back line. You know, the first goal, the Kiate goal, when he came out and just mistimed this jump, and he seemed a little bit gun-shy, I thought. Which is raised a couple of flags, perhaps. And then the second goal, the Zerati goal, he looked slow. But it's game one. I still think this is a fantastic signing. I still think that, you know, Arsenal are my pick to win it this year. Mm-hmm. Didn't help me. Freaking Arsenal, right? So I go out on a limb, as not just me, but a number of, you know, people have.
Uh-huh.
And so this could be the year that Arsenal bounce back and win it. And then week one, all that momentum, that positive energy they built throughout the summer, gone. Thanks, Arsene.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate it.
You did, but did you not pick United as the dark horses to win the title? I forget what
a dark horse. Yeah. Well, yeah. I said they're back as contenders.
Back in contenders. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember that there was one fan base that you were appealing to. I just couldn't remember who it was.
As I look up and we see the highlights from the game
uh-huh.
on Sportsnet, man, they're ugly, aren't they? Jeez.
Clearly, Arsene Wenger just needs a 16-year-old, super confident Reese Oxford type to throw into his squad.
He was outstanding, wasn't he?
Wasn't he? At 16?
16 years of age.
Like, could you imagine getting a Premier League sniff just to play with the first team at 16? It's got to be a dream
come
true.
Man. He's winning balls. 78 minutes? He was passing like 95% pass success.
Surreal. Unbelievable.
I tweeted it out. He's like not as good as the best teenage debut for a West Ham player since Freddie Sears. Remember Freddie Sears?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember Sears? He was considered. He was 16 too. This must have been, man, it's got to be 6-7 years ago he debuted. Has to be. And he was fantastic. He was brilliant.
And now he's playing for Julian Dix's team in the non-league?
I'm going to find out where he is now because I have no idea where he is. But he was brilliant. And actually that summer they came over to Toronto FC.
And played in the All-Star game.
Right? And Tony Carr, who was the academy guru at West Ham, he still is. He found players like Frank Lampard mm-hmm. and Jermaine Defoe, some great, great young players. And he was saying, yeah, this kid's going to be something very special. We're taking it easy. He's not there yet. He's still very young. He's learning. Mm-hmm. He's got to work on parts of his game, but this guy is going to be an absolute star one day. And when Tony Carr says that, you take him by his word.
Right.
Tony Carr was wrong. Let me find out where he
was. It does happen sometimes, but I liked what Slaven Bilic said about Oxford. He said if Messi was coming at him, running at him, he wouldn't be fazed. And Bilic admitted that he would, even at his prime, as most people would. So, I mean, that says a lot about your mental makeup if you're 16 and, focused on the job at hand, but also not overwhelmed by the Premier League, legends in front of you. Although,
not
too many legends on the pitch for Arsenal anymore. Is there just a Chelsea legend between the sticks?
He's 25 now, Freddie Sears. Still pretty young.
And? Playing?
So debuted in 2008, so 7 years ago. So yeah, he was, he was 17, 18 when he debuted.
And he's now in the Eredivisie.
Actually, Ipswich.
Okay.
Played 22 games last year, 9 goals.
Okay.
Not bad. Prior to that, he's at Colchester for a few years on loan until a permanent move in 2012 after a half season on loan at Colchester. Did okay there, 28 goals in 91 appearances.
Hmm.
Scunthorpe before then for a season.
That's
Coventry,
how you made it.
Crystal Palace didn't score on those. But yeah, listen, if Freddie Sears is not what we thought he'd be. So I'm just saying, let's
take it easy on Reese, is what you're saying.
Game one of the season against admittedly Arsenal, and he looked very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And good for West Ham. They got some swag with Bilic.
Do they ever?
He looks like a proper manager, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he does. We said this about the squad last year, though, and just as over the last couple of years, as Big Sam started to acquire players, you couldn't believe we're going to West Ham. And, Mauro Zarate is one of them, and one that I think Absolutely. Most of us had written off and thought, he's never going to reach his
we
potential.
We saw him with Lazio when right. we were in Serie A back in the score days. He was brilliant.
Phenomenal.
He was a head case.
Right, he
thought,
was.
Oh, man, going to West Ham with Big Sam?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Didn't work out.
No. Remember when he would get suspended from Inter and he was sitting in the crowd with the Ultras?
That's right, yeah.
Or maybe that was at Lazio still. I couldn't remember. But he's... To see him reach, I shouldn't say reach his potential, but at least, being able to contribute at a high level in a big game. Dream start for Slaven Bilic. Can he do any wrong in the East End? I mean, got them out of Europa League.
They'll love him.
Away win at Arsenal.
Yeah, no, isn't that funny? It's like, okay, job one, Mauro. Job one, Slaven. Don't qualify for the Europa League. Don't do that, right? Don't qualify. Done.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay the kids. Doesn't work. And then, crashes out. And then game one does really well. Yeah, good for them. I'm happy about that. You wonder about Zerardi when Carroll gets healthy.
Yeah.
But again, he'll get healthy for how long? 2-3 games?
72 minutes.
Yeah, probably around there. Wenger said post-match, maybe his players were nervous.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What's wrong
what
in their
the
room?
Hell?
That's your fault if your players are nervous. And nervous against
West Ham? At
Serious?
Home? And you're nervous?
You know what's funny about Francis Conklin didn't look very good. And you think about how good he was last season, how dominant he is against... big clubs, but when they're playing a team in which Arsenal should dominate possession, I don't know if he's the right guy to be playing in that position.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem as though he's as good
more
with the ball or makes the right decisions.
He had a couple of good moves, though. That one great run down to the byline, and he crossed it in, and it wasn't a goal in the end, but I forget who it was, but he looked decent. I'm a fan of this guy. I know you're the jury's still out.
Just lukewarm.
Yeah, just lukewarm? Not Luke Moore?
Not Luke Moore.
Okay, lukewarm. I think he's the real deal.
Yeah.
I do, in that role. In a deep lying role, and he's what they've missed for a long time. Mm. But listen, one game in, let's not judge anyone just yet.
I know how you say week one doesn't mean anything, But West Ham fans are losing their heads right now, seeing as how much we've spoken about their club, because probably for the rest of the season, this might be the most.
leading the Soccer Central podcast.
Wow.
And clearly, you know, they'll get around the stadium at Upton Park pretty quickly, you know. Wow, Soccer Central is leading with us. Wow, that's amazing. It's more leading with Arsenal, isn't it? Though,
really? I was just about to go into my East End accent, but then realized that almost had me killed one night, and Jimmy Brennan saved me, so I'll just stop from doing that.
The West Ham ultras here in Toronto.
There was a contingent that I ended up having one too many conversations with, and then it could have got pretty ugly.
Happened to me as well once. Jimmy saved me. Bunch of West Ham fans here in Toronto, and it was going a certain direction. And thankfully, they left.
It wasn't going well. They just left.
They left in the end. And there were some choice words exchanged.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Fighting with a television
Actually,
celebrity.
Actually, fairness, it's really one of them. Two of them, maybe. The rest of them were fine. But a couple of idiots who were hammered.
Huh.
And
no pun intended.
It was something anyway. It could have got nasty. And that was the only somewhat negative experience I've ever had outside of, emails and tweets.
Mm-hmm.
The odd phone call.
I don't think we get too many. Do you get many phone calls? Back in
maybe
the day,
a handful. Maybe. Not for a long time though.
Right.
A handful maybe.
Yeah.
Before the Twitter.
Sure.
Before these guys could hide behind their keyboards.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's
and even that's gone down. Vicious. My Twitter abuse has gone down a lot.
The Twitter interaction has gone down. Have you not found that?
Yeah.
It's changed
so
much. Like
it's not a novelty now, right?
Yeah. But also, I think just think back to if you were to post a comment about Oxford or something. Do you still think Arsenal's going to win the title? There was so much more, I think, incentive to interact with whoever it was on Twitter, whereas now it just seems it's favorites and retweets and a lot of reading.
Let's do it. We're talking before today's show, as we move forward, we're going to find some kind of structure for this podcast on Mondays. Let's work on something. Each weekend, we'll put something out there in the Twitter sphere, something loaded, and just a social experiment. And see the reaction.
Sure,
and then
okay.
We'll come back to it on the Monday podcast. Like on Saturday at 4 p.m., I tweeted this out and just laid this little egg out there and see who comes sniffing around.
Mm.
And it would be a good little social experiment about football fandom.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
I think I would see how, as long as you use the hashtag Tim and Sid, I feel like it'll be successful.
They're 4 bajillion. Now, look at you on TV right now. God, you're hideous.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think Jackie just makes you look worse. I think that's what it is.
Well, understandable. The makeup crew can only do so much.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Did you see that tweet?
No. What?
Straight out of the makeup room. Do you see the memes everyone's using? The straight out of Compton memes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See it. Straight out of the makeup room.
Quite clever. Got Nadine in there. She hates having her picture taken.
Oh, yeah. So she's whatever. Have you seen her Facebook profile? No one cares about Nadine. They should do. She's wonderful. Her makeup girl. So many selfies,
rails.
Man. Are you kidding me? She doesn't like being in front of the camera, whatever. Nadine, for those hardcore
real
show
hardcore,
fans, like
real
way
hardcore.
Back when, they'll know Nadine because she made an appearance once on the Sunday morning footy show during the Serie A, I think it was, right?
Yeah, probably.
I think it was during the Serie A.
It might have still been England because the way you were set, the way I can picture the set with the door. So it was definitely Premier League.
It was Premier League and Nadine, our makeup back in the Score studio, the makeup was just off the studio there. And she had no idea when we were on air. And she came walking through the door, stops, looks, freezes, drops, and crawls back to the door. And we could see it all. It was amazing. And to the point where we actually brought her onto the set for the next block, saying, you may recognize this young lady, Nadine Latour.
Amazing. She's going to be quite embarrassed when she realizes we've spent 7 minutes speaking
about her.
Anyway,
back to the games. Chelsea 2. Swansea 2, speaking of, they needed Peter Cech in this game.
Boy, did
Chelsea,
they ever.
Thibaut Courtois, what was he thinking?
I think nerves.
A very nervy player.
Just
it's
Swansea, anxious, brand new season. But Chelsea just kind of looked out of sorts. I don't think at all they look quite confident. Certainly didn't look like champions, which is fine. Like, honestly, for me, that's excusable on an opening day. Plus, I also thought you had a really hungry opponent. I mean, Swansea.
I like Swansea, man. I love Gary Monk more and more every time I see him.
The intensity that they played with, but even before Chelsea went down to 10 men,
they went for it.
Swansea were unlucky not to come away with 3 points. They really should have. I think with a bit more creativity or later in the season, let's say, if there was a bit more chemistry in that squad, because there's still some new players gelling. I thought, which Ayew is that? Yeah, Andre.
Andre, yeah. Jordan is the other guy at
Villa.
Villa, yeah. Andre,
Ayew. Andre, he looked quite good.
He did. He did. I mean, Montero is just beast-like.
He's good.
When he wants to play, he's beast-like. He was very good last year, but the issue's been with his fitness, right? Because he runs so hard. I forget the stat I saw this morning. He doesn't finish very many games, right? He didn't finish again in this one. If he can get his fitness up to 90 minutes or just takes, maybe picks his spots a bit better, because he runs continuously, full speed.
Right.
He can't jog. He's so dynamic.
It's kind of like me out there playing.
Very, very similar. You know, I thought that when I saw him. I thought, you know what? He reminds me of someone. Punters. That's how it is. He gave Ivanovic, though, kittens. Didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. That's a phrase that you used once the other day for the first time.
I know. Twice in my life now.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, kittens.
Is that your new cliche?
It might be. I might be using that a lot this year. I'm not sure even what it means.
People always Canadians tend to call me out when they hear me say give over.
Give over, yeah, but wannabe English, you've been around enough Brits in your life, including your old man, that's kind of part of your vocabulary.
My F1 world champion winning old man.
Yeah, that's the one. Right, race car driver. Excellent. Excellent. See Jenson Button and his wife? They were...
No.
Jenson Button, recently they were burgled and they were apparently gassed in
really?
The burglary. I'm not quite sure the details.
Oh.
I read the headline, actually.
Did he marry that Japanese model he dated forever?
I don't think... The picture I saw, she wasn't Japanese.
Okay. So then
she was geisha, in which case she looked very white in the girl I saw. But yeah, pretty nasty.
Yeah. That's also the second time we've spoken about burglaries on the show.
That's right. Well,
Di Maria.
It's a theme.
God, what is going on in England?
That's the reason why I live here.
Can they figure things out?
Yeah, in fairness, I doubt Jenson Button got gassed in England. It's probably one of his villas somewhere.
Those Monaco gassings, that's a big thing right now.
Yeah, you know? It is. So Chelsea drop points. Jose comes out. I thought this was overblown a little bit by the media. They're calling out the medical staff.
Eva Carneiro?
Yeah, yeah. Saying how they don't know football because late in the game, Hazard was down.
Yeah.
They should have known that if they won the field, he must leave so they had to defend a counterattack being a man down. Don't complain about your medical staff. Complain about bloody Eden Hazard, who, beside maybe Olivier Giroud, spends more time on the ground.
He does, doesn't he?
It's incredible.
Yeah. And great comparison.
And I love Hazard. I do. He's one of the players that I pay to watch. But man, just stay up a bit longer. And okay, if you're going to go down and embellish, okay, fine. But just the continuously rolling around or looking like you're dead, what do you expect the medical staff to do?
No, I know.
Right?
I called Jose out. Like, doesn't he know all the BS that she's had to put through touching the legs in private areas of John Terry and Ashley Cole for all those years?
Like, John,
have some sympathy, Jose.
John, we know you haven't got a groin strain here.
And let's be
clearly
honest,
not, but
the media overblows it just so they could show pictures of her in the newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought it was a bit unfair. But again, if you actually see the comments and read the quotes, he wasn't that scathing. Mm-hmm. It's just the media love to blow it up, as we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right? Well, she's been at Chelsea longer than anybody else.
Yep.
So I think that's probably why.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, she came aboard under Roberto Di Matteo.
No, I think it was AVB. She's Portuguese. I think it was AVB that brought her.
But but I thought Di Matteo, when was AVB? Was he before or after Di Matteo?
Well, before, because Di Matteo was his assistant.
Right. But okay, so he brought her over, but Di Matteo.
There was a connection there?
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't believe we're discussing medical staff at soccer teams. Man, we read and watch too much football, don't we? It's ridiculous.
It's
utter losers.
It's astonishing that there are women that love us. At least we like to think.
Currently, your woman is taking care of one of my women.
Yeah.
My daughter.
Yeah.
Elena Watko, representing.
When you were watching Canadian Idol all those years ago,
I never thought
day I'm going to produce offspring.
We had a daycare malfunction. So
almost
couldn't do the podcast this morning, but Elena stepped up. And now I told her to teach my daughter how to sing because I'm banking my retirement on my daughter.
So you don't hear Frozen enough in your house. Yeah. Is that it?
That's not the case, sadly. All right, United beat Spurs 1-0. Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Own goal.
Unlucky.
A bit unfortunate. Yeah, uninspiring by United.
Very.
Seeing Romero in goal, it's not the solution, is it?
You don't think that he can last?
No.
I think he's Premier League caliber.
Sure, he's not a lower division goalkeeper, but not for a United team that, you know, won, was it 12 points last year from De Gea saves?
Yeah, you're right. It was just 12? Feels like a lot more.
Maybe more, 12, 15, around there, right?
But that's the thing, though. It's almost unfair because anything less than a 100% committed David De Gea is a complete downgrade.
Yep.
But at least Romero's a shot stopper, which we spoke about on the preview podcast, and they're going to face a lot more shots than the four that Spurs put on them.
Sure.
So I think in that sense, there's far worse situations they could be in. I mean, would you be more confident with, you know, with Anders Lindegaard? he's shown that he's capable, or at least shown capable in the past.
Secure but. With an Asmir Begovic, who was available, who Chelsea plucked for $8 million. Now, if United knew that De Gea was leaving, which I'm sure they did, why wouldn't they have gone for a Begovic?
Well, wasn't that what they were doing getting Valdez last year? Wasn't that the thought?
But even that was a weird one. I mean, Valdez
hadn't played.
You can't deny the guy's got an amazing resume, winning everything with Barcelona, but you're right, hadn't played for a long time. And again, even at Barcelona, was never considered one of the top keepers in the world.
He's always considered their liability.
You could have put, I was trying to think of a famous Danny DeVito in goal. Danny DeVito, a short person, but I couldn't think of a really short person. Work done. There you go. Work done was a linebacker for Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right?
These mornings are amazing. It's totally different. Two different people.
Warren, I think Warren Sapp, Work done is the little person.
You just compared Warren Warren Sapp.
Couldn't be any more different. Warren Sapp and Work done.
I thought he was Brazilian. Just Warren.
Work done?
No. Just Warren.
Work.
Who's. I know he's done some great work with Ricky Gervais and the other tall, lanky guy. But Steve Merchant, right. But still, the best clip will always be Liam Neeson's improv with Warren.
It's amazing. Yep. Yeah. The guy who did the visit at the doctor's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's superb.
Liam Neeson doesn't get improv.
He doesn't. It was really well done, though. But my point being that at Barcelona, even Warwick Dunn, who's a big 3'6", could have probably won something. Right, that was my point. Valdez isn't a solution either.
Right.
Nor is Romero.
I think that Romero will be fine.
Who was available for apparently a very affordable fee was, and maybe they had hope of retaining De Gea at that point, but you got to do your business, do your due diligence here, and speak to the guy. I know Van Gaal still says, I don't know what's happening. We want to keep him. De Gea says he can play. He's ready to play, but it's a tough one. If you're going to sell him, sell him. Right? Do it now.
Well, you got to sell, and you need to sell all three of those players and get bodies in return.
Yep. Well, I mean, if it means Sergio Ramos coming back, that makes sense, because I'm not sure I'm that comfortable with Danny Blind playing a center half. I like Blind. He's a really versatile player, but he's been punished for it almost because he's not a center back. He's played there a lot through the preseason, but he's not a defender. Okay, maybe a fullback, but
did we not say that about Javier Mascherano once in the day?
That's a very good point.
Yeah,
and now he's one of the top.
When I look at Daley Blind, I think Javier Mascherano.
That's a good comparison, actually. Yeah, you're right.
It would take some time. He's going to marinate in the oven a little bit, to use an old cliche, but I think that.
Do you marinate in the oven? Or do you marinate outside the oven and then put in the oven?
Well, when you're cooking, marinating your piece of meat, is that the act of putting
the marination? You're marinating meat in the sauce or the rub,
right?
Pre-cooking, so all the flavors are being infused into the meat.
So
then you put it in the oven or the barbecue, and it cooks.
I've been
basting would be putting more sauce, I think, on the food, right? Getting the thumbs up here, yeah. Right, so I think that's what it is.
Okay,
we need any chefs out there.
I just can't believe that I've been incorrectly using that cliche for the entire time I've been on television.
Really?
Wow. I constantly say, so there's some chef out there going, that idiot doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, there's
the
more than just the chef
staff doesn't need to marinate in the oven. Boy,
I mean, I guess you could marinate in the oven overnight before you turn it on.
Who would do that?
You, apparently.
I don't think I've ever done that before. I don't do enough cooking.
Stoke usually enjoy home cooking.
You think so?
Boom, segue. Stoke weren't enjoying their home cooking, though, this week against Liverpool.
You're like a fine wine, you know that?
By the way, I should have mentioned Harry Kane was pretty good for Spurs. Very quickly.
Spurs deserve the point, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, better the next game. Stoke 0, Liverpool 1. Here's my tragic story about this game.
Yes, please.
Right, and those who have listened to this podcast before know you're not pretty that surprised by this idiot that I am. But so early in the summer, I'm looking at my budget and cutting costs here and there. I thought, I'm going to cancel some TV over the summer because it's hot.
I know it's
right, I'm going to be outside more. So I did cancel my Sportsnet World subscription.
Wow.
Over the summer, right? And I remembered that at about 10:45 on Sunday morning when I tuned in, like, oh no. So I call up Rogers, who I work for, and they tell me, that's no problem. However, right now we're under maintenance. And we can't fulfill your order until later this afternoon.
Oh, no.
Not happy about it at all. I mean, I'm angry at Rogers for how dare they schedule maintenance on a Sunday 15 minutes before a Liverpool game on Sportsnet World. I'm also angry at myself for being an absolute moron. So I missed the game live, couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
However, I did get it up and running by, I think, 7 p.m.
Yeah, and we were texting during the match, and yeah. You know, life happens. Sometimes you don't see it live. You always have to do the pre-screen text. And I was actually worried because I didn't send it to you. I thought, there's no way Sharma's missing this match. First, you know, doesn't matter what daycare festival is going on or what
festival. The truth is, and here's the actual truth, I wasn't going to watch it live.
You weren't?
Because it was my daughter's soccer.
Right? Wow. Okay.
And I missed
Are you coaching?
No. It's a thing of little kickers. It's not actual matches yet. They're learning ball skills. No, it's very similar, but there's not games. They're actually learning the fundamentals and skills first. It's actually really good for a 4-year-old.
I should totally go.
I could really. You'd be perfect there, actually.
Yeah. I could really use
it. Chase a froggy with the ball. Chase a froggy, Brandon. That kind of stuff, right? So I wasn't a PVR it and watch it after because I missed my girls' last like four soccer Sundays because of
work. Don't be a bad dad.
So I was going to be a good dad. So I sacrificed Liverpool live to watch my daughter. But it turns out I wasn't going to watch it live anyway.
This is how I know I'm not ready for children. I would not do that. I have to see my team play.
Yeah, it'll soon change when the little eyes look at you. Are you coming to watch me play today, Daddy? I really missed you last week. How can you say no to that? Anyway, back to the game. Turns out it was a crap game.
Yeah, was it ever?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what did you think when you finally watched it at 7 o'clock or whatever time it was?
I thought that, okay, from Liverpool's perspective, disjointed, weren't quite sure what they were. They were almost trying to force the ball to Benteke.
Seemed it. You know? Although I thought it was impressive that they were at least trying those balls.
Yeah, exactly.
But nothing materialized.
He was isolated out there, right? He didn't get any service. I thought the
kind
biggest...
Kind of like he's used to that.
Isn't it?
I can't think of why. I
can't imagine why. That team he played for in Belgium?
No. Yeah. Genk.
Genk, that's it. Genk, left my Genk. But I thought they defensively, it was a clean sheet and it was a better performance than we've seen last year. Now, there were some scary moments, I know, but Dejan Lovren, who was a disaster last year, and again, it's one game in, not going to overanalyze.
Right.
As I overanalyze.
Defender of the year, though.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Play every minute of every game.
Do you like the pairing, him and Skrtel?
Yeah, well, I've always liked Skrtel. He's a kind of... He's a warrior guy. I like his physicality.
He's such a battler.
He is a battler, exactly. Yeah. And Lovren's more silky. Well, you need that kind of... That's where Agger worked really well beside Skrtel for those couple of years because Agger was more silky. You wonder what it means for Sacco if this continues this way. I like seeing Joe Gomez making his debut at left back. You know, he wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He was shown out a couple of times. But for a young guy, that could be a really good signing. And I've got no issues with Moreno. I know people do. I think he's a pretty decent left back.
I have no issues with him either. Yeah, I didn't think too many people did have issues with him. But isn't there something to be said about Brendan Rodgers and his obsession with youth? I mean, to see, like, sure, Gomez didn't look out of place. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Ibe might just be the jewel that Brendan Rodgers hopes he is. But I feel as though he's just really obsessed with that happening.
Yeah, well, it's cheaper for him, you know. And he does like to nurture young players, and that's good. That's part of the reason why he got the job to begin with, because they were going for a very young team and a young club and growing together.
Sure.
Obviously, Raheem Sterling kind of threw a spanner in those works.
But did Brendan Rodgers learn what everyone else did watching that match on Sunday, that Felipe Coutinho is the most valuable piece he has?
He knew that before.
I don't know if he did.
Oh, he knew it before, yeah.
I feel like Coutinho is underrated and undervalued by not just
I think he's underrated,
watch.
But he's not undervalued by Rodgers, I don't think.
I don't think so.
He's played a lot under him. And, I mean, we saw, again, was pretty invisible until the last 15 minutes or so, and then what a goal that was.
Was.
Just brilliant.
Magical. But that's what you need, and that's what this squad, you know, had missed for a long time, which is why Suarez, you know, in part brought them back to, or nearly brought them back to the promised land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what the strangest part about this game was?
What?
And it's really surreal, and you'll agree with this when I mention you probably thought the same thing. So you're at the Britannia. It's a good stadium, great fan base.
Sure.
It's Stoke, right? And Stoke are making major strides. I like what they're doing. Mark Hughes done a great job.
Stoke alone,
yeah, exactly. They're not what, you know, they were under Pulis for sure. And they actually had their best finish ever last season. But still, seeing Jordan Shaqiri in the stands.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's like, this doesn't seem to fit.
No, it's so strange.
And it's unfair because it's a new Stoke and he probably does fit.
Right.
The chairman, Coates, has done a really good job there reinventing this club. But it's just weird. And it seems, you look at him in there and I thought, man, he's been waiting for a different club to come in for him all summer long. He's still waiting. It's like, someone's got to come for me, some sexy club, surely. But in the end, he's kind of, I think, realizing now, okay, it's going to be Stoke. And you know what? It might be a really good move for him.
Sure. Probably 70,000, 80,000 pounds a week. exchange rate right now, it's a pretty good situation to be in.
And he's a short little bugger, isn't he? Really small. So you know the Peter Crouch Shaqiri combination is going to be amazing. Love that.
Put Shaqiri on his shoulders. Yeah. Did you ever mention that to Jermaine Defoe when he was around?
I didn't know. No, I didn't.
I feel as though that came up
very much a couple of times, but
I feel like that came up
on a podcast probably. I can't imagine someone mentioning it.
Really? I could totally see you mentioning it.
Yeah,
I could definitely see you mentioning it.
No, I didn't cover hardly any TFC when he was there, so I didn't get to see him that often.
You're too busy doing the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that's your obsession.
Career plan, the career ladder.
You Nazem Kadri is the Jordan Ibe of the jewel of your eye. The same way Brendan Rodgers sees it.
Newcastle 2, Southampton 2. Good for Steve McLaren. I didn't watch this game. I don't know if you did.
I saw the highlights and I did see pieces of it yesterday.
Yeah, I
couldn't believe that Gabby Obertan was still playing.
I know. Didn't know he was starting the game, eh? Yeah.
Shocking.
He made some interesting selections, did McLaren. But
he did.
It's a good way to start the season against I know they've lost players again, but they're a good Southampton team. Dusan Tadic.
Sure.
From what I was reading, was outstanding again.
Yep.
Got the assist.
Yeah, you're a huge fan of him.
I am, absolutely.
He looked quite good.
It was this time last year when we first saw him, and I thought, who the hell is this kid?
Yeah.
And he was brilliant.
Do you call him Pella or Pele? I thought when he was in Serie A, it was Graziano Pele.
I think I say Pella because I can't say Pele. There's only one Pele.
Yeah, but not Pele.
Pele.
But Pele.
Yeah. Pele or Pele?
Well, who's the Brazilian legend?
Pele.
Right.
Pele.
Graziano Pele.
It's the same.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Let's go Pele.
Hey, Pele sounds weird.
There's only one Pele, right? Let's go. I mean, I know there's... Who's the... where was he? African player. Pele. Oh, my God. He was outstanding.
African player. I've been locked out of my computer.
Oh, my God. I forget whereabouts he was from in Africa.
I think I do remember this.
Ignorant idiot. It'll come to me. It's a long, like, double-barreled name. And then Pella.
Oh, Lance, you are so responsive. He's come to log me back in.
Oh, nice. Lance, also a fine diner and a champion of all things culinary, apparently. Gives a thumbs up about the marinade, right?
Brilliant.
You see the Mitrovic foul?
I didn't see it, no.
No? Yeah, that was probably a red card.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There was a few...
Forwards foul. He was very up for the game.
I thought the refereeing this weekend, though, was almost too good.
Did you watch the Norwich game? Dreadful. Yeah. Palace got off against Norwich.
Forget, was it Hooper that's doing that match?
It's a young guy, first game.
Let's be honest. Palace still would have done it.
Yeah, like Palace. And Kabai was really good, scored the goal there. Zaha looked decent as well. Be nice to see him bounce back. And Cameron Jerome. That's the one, right? High boot, scored the goal, was ruled non-goal. I'm sorry, that's got to count.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the head was down. It's just ridiculous. But I give Alex Neil, the coach of Norwich, a lot of credit. He was very calm post-match, and he could have gone off. But, you know, these new guys to Premier League, if they're smart, they've got to just kind of get their toes wet first.
Sure.
Before they start ripping, you know, referees and officials because... You know, they these guys do get a name for themselves.
Give Kike Sanchez Flores a week and a bad result, and he'll forget that.
No,
he'll lose it.
Exactly. Yeah.
By week three, I think he'll be in the bad books.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. What's the score in the Watford game?
2-2
with Everton, right? 2-2, Everton, Watford.
They Watford looked like Borussia Dortmund with those shirts. But yes, it did finish 2-2.
Ross Barkley with a freaking howitzer. Nice guy. Good to see him. Starting the season healthy.
Yeah.
And
that won't last long.
No, I mean, last year was such a bad year for him in that the injury cut him his effectiveness. And then when he came back, he wasn't quite the same player. But, you know, 2 years ago, this kid was considered to be, you know, something pretty special for the future.
Yeah. And they've lost Leighton Baines a few weeks.
Yeah. Huge loss.
Unfortunate.
Huge loss. At least he keeps his name out the transfer window.
Yeah, for now.
I mean, he seems
potentially.
He's a loyal guy. He could have gone to United last year, but he chose to re-sign with Everton. Yeah. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
His value's dropped so much, but would you be surprised? You know, just to go back quickly to United, we're talking about the swaps and how they got to get rid of the 17 goalkeepers that they have in the books they have no use in using. Fabio Contrao's been rumored to go back to Benfica. Apparently he wants to go back.
Really?
He's not having it at Real. He's been forced out as the backup to Marcelo. But you can understand why Rafa would want to have that dynamic option. But also, he's not healthy very often. He's been, you know, marred with injuries. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if United went back in for him because they were close to getting him. Was it January It was a deadline day a couple years ago.
You are aware that he can't play goal, though.
I just they need to get use their goalkeepers
or use them as
to get pieces.
What's it called in hockey now? It's called or baseball. It's called prospect currency.
Yeah, prospect currency. Right? So that's how you need to goalkeeper currency.
Goalkeeper currency.
But you had said to get rid of De Gea to bring in Ramos.
Yeah, they need a centre back though. They got Luke Shaw left back, right? They're going to bring Contrao into a place. This kid is going to be apparently pretty good.
Don't try to trap me in a Patrice Evra goalkeeping situation like that.
That is what I was alluding to.
Okay.
It's a few years ago now, isn't it, as well?
Is there any other legendary games from Saturday you want to talk about?
Villa, Bournemouth. Oh, boy. You got 3 points there.
Who would have guessed it?
There you go.
Might just be all right.
Huh? Fantastic. Fantastic.
Boy.
Six debuts.
Tim Sherwood. Game.
Only, about 11,000 people there. Tiny stadium.
It is really like small, but how nice does that camera angle look?
Yeah.
That you're low. Right
on top of the pitch,
you of Highbury or Upton Park before they added technology.
Yeah.
They've moved it at Upton Park. It's not in the same position anymore. I love that low angle look.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
Intimate.
Give Villa credit, though. They battled in that game.
Yeah.
And I thought they were full value for the win.
Sure. And Bournemouth will be fine. I mean, as long as Eddie Howe doesn't take the England job this year.
Yeah.
No, as in they'll contend in
Gary
matches.
Monk's getting the England job, obviously.
Right. Wow. Is he the new favorite?
He probably is, I bet you.
I haven't checked the bookies.
Keep talking and trying to find
him. He might just be that. I thought that for a team that had come up with a lot of hype and pizzazz, Bournemouth might actually be the most overhyped team to come up in a long time, too. But
they scored lots of goals.
They did score lots of goals. They played really well, and were deserved champions of a very tight championship, which I think often gets overlooked. It's how difficult it is to win. But they contended with Villa and tested Villa. They had their chances. They looked creative. They'll be fine. They're going to steal points off teams far better than Villa throughout the season.
I have your odds here for the next England manager. Not that Roy Hodgson's going anywhere, as far as we know.
Sure. He's hanging out. Well, if you saw the picture, he's hanging out with the goalkeeper boys. He was sitting every time they showed De Gea and Valdez on the camera.
He was there.
Boys sitting in front of him.
Right. Gary Neville, the favorite.
That's so weird.
His gang is earning his stripes, I guess, beside Roy.
Mm.
But you can't get your first job as England manager, surely.
Absolutely not.
Gareth Southgate, number two. You'd say that he's perhaps earned it,
mm-hmm.
going through the ranks, club and, U21s. Alan Pardew at number three. Probably deserves it if anyone does. I mean, he does a good job pretty much wherever he goes.
Right.
But I'm not sure whether the FA can handle the confidence, shall I say.
Right. Plus, just the idea of having a bilingual Englishman, you don't need him
busting
French out of inopportune times.
Is Coquelin capped by France yet?
I don't know.
And has he got a passport yet? That's what I'm asking.
Hmm.
He looked good in England. Sure.
Could you imagine?
Eddie Howe is a fourth favorite.
He is the fourth favorite. What are the odds?
My God.
I thought that was just hearsay.
It says 15 here. I don't know what it means. 15 to 1?
Is it fractions?
It just says 15.
It just says 15.
Have a look. I have no idea how betting works here. So what is it? 15 to 1?
Yeah, it's got to be 15 to 1.
Okay, Jose is also at 15 to 1, followed by Brendan Rodgers.
Could you imagine Jose Mourinho bossing England? I mean, just for newspaper sales alone,
amazing.
Everyone would want to see it.
John Terry back as captain.
Oh, wow.
Gary Monk's at 42. 25 to 1. He's the eighth favorite. So you're right, Eddie Howe is ahead of Gary Monk. How is that possible? Right? How is Gary Monk less likely to be England manager than Eddie Howe? With all respect to Eddie Howe, who's managed one game in the Premier League.
Because 90% of people that talk about football, even those who do it for a living, okay, Alan Shearer doesn't know that Gary Monk is managing Swansea. He thinks he's still playing.
He probably does. Is Shearer here somewhere? I don't see him here. Marcelo Bielsa is after Gary Monk.
Well, that only because he's unemployed.
I don't see. Oh, Alan Shearer is here. 80 to 1. You can get odds.
80 to 1.
Alan Shearer to be the next England manager.
Save your fiver.
Just stop it.
Go to the chippy.
Sky bet. Just stop. Just stop it right now. Anyway.
It's almost as if Brits have an issue with gambling.
A little bit. Yeah, perhaps. I mentioned Palace, Norwich, West Brom City play today, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this after 5 p.m. Eastern, we haven't just forgotten about Man City. They haven't played yet.
Right. We tape at 6 a.m. every Monday.
It must feel like to you, yeah. Hey, anything else on the Premier League weekend you want to get to?
Not so much from the Prem. Did you see TFC?
I was at TFC in the weekend, yeah.
You were?
I was at the game, yeah.
I didn't know that. Where were you sitting?
I was section 117.
Oh, you're just
amazing
over.
Story, by the way.
Okay.
And I wish I got the guy's name because we had a good chat. A guy ahead of me, he turns around and he goes, hey, can I get a picture? Sure, a little picture with him. He goes, I still remember your grease pick in 2004.
Wow.
And he bought me a beer.
Look at
not
that.
Not any beer, but a big, biggest beer.
Right.
And one of the imports.
So $17.
About $17 he bought me a beer.
Wow.
What a good guy. Outstanding.
That is unbelievable.
I should have probably said no. At first I said no, no, it's okay. He goes, no, really, I'm happy to. I'm, okay, sure. But yeah, I still get some currency from that year 2004 pick.
Look at
all
that.
These years later.
So clearly this gentleman was Greek.
I'm assuming so,
so
yeah.
If we were actually together, you wouldn't have got it. You wouldn't have got off on some tangent, or I would have challenged him.
Probably,
I would have really soured the moment.
It would have been a fight in the end, probably. Yeah. But he's a listener of the podcast. So if you're listening, I'm so sorry I didn't get your name, mate. I will be back in that section, I'm sure, in the next few weeks. And I will buy you a beer. And I appreciate the conversation. I love Greece. And I hope they get back on their financial feet. But with you guys spending $17 on a beer for me, that's not going to happen anytime soon now, is it?
For the sake of reference, you great man in 117, you'll forever be known as $17 beer man.
Yep. I bought two myself, my dear, as well.
Oh, okay. So you had a day then. See,
I had quite the day, yeah.
I rushed. I had to pull our old friend who used to leave early to go on and beat the traffic.
Mr.
Because I went rushing to work.
Oh.
So I left in the 85th minute. And in walking out, you know, by the time you get to the exit, I couldn't believe the stream of people. I thought, you scumbags. How are you? It's a 2-1 game.
Seriously.
Like, how
can you
leave? I got to go to work. What the hell's your excuse? You got to get the GO train. Oh, I don't know if I'll make it back to the burbs in time.
Yep.
Totally not realizing how long it took me to go down the stairs now that they'd conceded again.
Yeah.
Bad performance.
It was a really bad performance. It was defensively, they look just dreadful right now. I mean, never been great, but it seems worse the last few weeks.
It's just the Jekyll and Hyde. Like, when they looked like they were on the road.
Yeah.
And that still shocks me, how a team can look so different away from home.
I know. They have it cross sport, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It just seems it's so much more dramatic in football, but it didn't seem to be as prevalent in MLS as it is now.
No,
maybe because I'm watching more games.
And it's because there weren't too many, you know, hostile grounds to go to.
Right.
You know, there's a couple here and there, but generally speaking, you know, you're going to, I don't know, name a team, DC, for example. You know, it's nice enough.
Have you seen the neighborhood?
Oy. Yeah, although RFK is pretty awful.
Oh, yeah,
geez.
It is.
I was there for the first time this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did the game there. Wow, what a crap hole.
Well, it was made in the 60s and left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Left in a parking lot.
Yeah.
You know what I actually watched? I've watched two All-American MLS matches, at least pieces of it. I watched the entire second half of the, what are they called? The Hudson Derby?
Yeah.
Which was actually really good. The intensity was
the
amazing.
Scrap in the bar
beforehand? Yeah, I saw that.
And I saw pictures of it.
I think it was, I don't know if the original video came from him, but Rob Harris, who has written for The Guardian, I think The Independent, excuse me, mm-hmm. It's quite known on the Twitterverse. He was the one that posted the video first. If he got, he might have set that all up.
Well, you know,
we're talking about being in the right place at the same time.
When I first saw the pictures, I thought, this looks a bit contrived. You know, it's like Green Street Hooligans, you know? And it's like, did this really happen? And maybe it did, but my first thought was, is this being contrived as a bit of a PR stunt? Because it's getting press around the world now.
Right.
That's an old school football hooligan.
It looked it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside the pub.
Spilling outside.
Skinheads. Yeah. Beating the shit out of each other.
And who knew the Red Bulls had fans like that?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's actually an app. If it was real, what an absolute embarrassment.
They weren't able.
Hang your heads in shame, people.
Yeah.
Get a life.
You people that live in Metro New York and get to enjoy all the fruits of being in that neighborhood.
They probably just bust in, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was a good match. I mean, who would have thought, though, you got Lampard, Pirlo, David Villa out there, and it's the Wright Phillips brothers.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's
amazing.
Number 98
final, right?
And 99.
That in itself, that should be grounds for suspension.
Wow.
Don't you think?
Like Bradley Wright.
Who do you think you are? Now, Bradley, okay. Bradley, you're a scoring champion.
Yeah.
Right? You're proven. Sean, you've just arrived. You've done nothing for 13 years. Right? He's 34 now, I think. 33, 34.
Someone sounds jealous.
He's done nothing for 13 years, and he has the audacity to wear that number? Come on now. Sean, I like you. I've always liked Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
You know?
You actually have been a big backer.
I have, and I've always been waiting for him to explode again. But when I...
Well, he will now.
We know the guy who was a big part of that transfer, and when I spoke to him at D-Rose event, and he reminded me that he was almost 34.
Yeah.
So it can't be right. Why would you say that? The almost 34, Sean Wright Phillips.
I remember
clearly when he was 20 and he broke through.
Mm.
20 at Man City.
Back when you were 34.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what. That's why it hurt so hard.
Sadly. Not far off. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's a shame. But yeah, good game. Good game. And nice to see Frank Lampard being nutmegged.
Yeah, was that Grella? It was he'd get rid of the, was it? I think maybe, yeah.
Grella, yeah.
And he got rid of the ball quite poorly after that, yep. too.
Grella, when he came off too, he looked absolutely knackered, didn't he? Oh, well. DC beat Montreal 1-0 despite being outshot 25-1.
Did you see the shot map? Unbelievable. I tweeted, I think Squiz, Daniel Squizzato had tweeted originally. It would just pepper the left side of the page. Mm-hmm. Blue lines everywhere. One line for DC.
Boom.
That's it. All you needed. One shot. Incredible. I think they're the first team in MLS history to do that.
Yeah.
Win a match with one shot.
When's Drogba going to do something?
I don't know.
What's the time frame?
Yeah, I haven't seen. I'll keep checking the John Molinaro timeline.
MLS Cup final.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe ready in time for them.
Vancouver won again. 4 against was it Orlando?
They can't stop.
My God, man. Like, this is a really good story. You know, they're a good, solid club.
Very, very
really
likable
happy for
team.
Robbo.
I like what they're doing right now. Yeah, Robbo too. I mean, what a...
It's a balanced team, right?
Fully deserving. It was Real Salt Lake. They blanked.
Oh, sorry. Real Salt Lake. Yes, yes, yes.
Also purple.
Yes. That's right. Anything else you want to get to from the football world?
No. Can we move to bits and bobs?
Yeah. We're going to bring bits and bobs back, which is basically a little comment about anything we want.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, give us your best.
Usually you talk about Coronation Street, but some of the pieces have changed, and you can't do that with Dobby and I anymore. That's great.
Yeah, I can still do it.
I got one, though. Rarely am I one for celebrity gossip and entertainment news. Rarely do I even see the headlines if it wasn't for reading the Telegraph. Or what's the one that usually has all the on the side?
No, you're thinking the Daily Mail.
It's Mail Online. Mail, yes, yeah. Sorry, Mail Online.
Just one thing. Don't read that front page and assume that is what Great Britain's like. Okay, there's some bad parts of Great Britain. There are, right? There's a nation with some issues. But don't base your opinion on that, because you'll never go there. Anyway, go ahead.
Because I thought the first thing that English think of when they wake up is, what is Donald Trump doing to another woman? And what is the guy from The Only Way Is Essex doing with that woman?
Yeah, well, there's 6 degrees of separation. Yeah, that's precisely what it is. All right, go. What?
Nicole Scherzinger, who I love, I've adored forever. She should have been Mrs. Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, right.
She's dating Ed Sheeran.
Is she really?
Are you kidding me?
Well done, Ed Sheeran.
I mean,
he couldn't be any more opposite to Lewis Hamilton.
Rarely do
they're both of ink, I suppose.
I guess he's got some tats, doesn't he? That is the only comparison.
Good for you, Ed Sheeran.
I had a chance.
Representing for the gingers out there.
I am so furious. I had a chance.
You never had a chance.
Ed Sheeran's in there now.
You may have had a chance with Ed Sheeran.
Oh, boy.
But not with Nicole Scherzinger. Sorry. It hurts you to see that, doesn't it?
No, I'm quite content.
It gives us all hope, really. It's amazing what a bit of talent can do for you there, right? If you can sing, you're a dude, you're in.
Definitely.
Doesn't matter what you look like.
He also ballet danced in his, it wasn't ballet, it was ballroom dancing, excuse me.
Did he really? Again, if you can dance.
In his video.
And you can move your hips.
Wins over the women.
And you can sing, you're set for life.
Mm-hmm.
No problem at all. Mine is back to the kids thing, right? And I just want to mention for you, B, right? I don't know your ambitions, if you ever want to be a dad, whatever, you know.
The more I listen to your stories, no.
It's the best thing that could ever happen to you in
you keep telling
every
something.
Way except for Saturday mornings during the soccer season. I just want you to just to appreciate it and don't take it for granted when you wake up in the morning, whoever you are out there, if you're watching the game in bed, whether you're getting up, making a cup of tea or a coffee, watching the game, or maybe you make yourself breakfast, maybe a bowl of cereal, and you're sitting there in peace watching the game. Don't take it for granted. Appreciate every second. It is a battle. It is such a battle to actually watch games on Saturday morning because, you know, even though it's summer holidays, right? Your kid's up. She's excited. It's Saturday morning. Beautiful day outside. She just will not leave me alone. Daddy's got to work. And like, how can she really believe that dad's working when he's sitting in his, you know, pajamas watching a soccer match on a couch, right?
His red pajamas with a big white bird all over.
See, my wife was working, right? So I couldn't even like deflect it.
Oh, no.
The door to her goal. Take care of her. So it's just all the guys and girls out there who right now are without kids, who love their Saturday mornings watching the Premier League on Sportsnet.
Mm-hmm.
Just appreciate it. Don't take it granted because it won't last for long.
How many times did you watch Frozen during the 10 a.m. matches?
I heard it because I admit at times, like, you know, here's your iPad, go watch something. And I hate doing that, but
she'll sit there with Freddie Mercury, the dog.
Yep.
And just watch?
Yeah.
Nice.
We've got a poodle there now as well for the time being. We're dog sitting. Mum's got a poodle. And we're, oh, okay. We're dog sitting. So we've got two cats, poodle, Freddie Mercury.
Wow.
Daughter. What a freaking menagerie. What a gong show.
You know what's weird is how I feel like every breed will mix with a poodle and make a whatever that is, yeah. Like a golden poodle. Doodle.
Yeah.
Like that was strange.
You could be like a Dunlop poodle if they bred a poodle with you, for example.
Well, that would be impossible. I don't see myself breeding with a poodle. But thank you for thinking that's the level I'm on.
We've broached bestiality for the first time ever on this podcast.
I know you think I had no chance with Nicole Scherzinger, but a poodle, come on.
We should get going because my daughter, who ruined my Saturday morning viewing experience, is probably right now ruining your girlfriend's morning at Sportsnet here. So, yes, we should go. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone. That was the Soccer Central podcast. I'm James Sharman. It's Brendan Dunlop. Please follow us on Twitter at James Sharman, at Brendan_Dunlop. Give us your thoughts on all things football. We'll be back on Thursday for some more footy chat. See you then. Cheers for listening.